live in communion with him 24/7. We take this bread, we drink this cup. If you haven't done so, do it now. In remembrance, but make it an integral part of the life we live. We're only here because of him. We're only here because of his sacrifice. We're only who we are because of all he's done for us. We're only able to be who we can be in Christ through the new covenant outpouring in that sacrifice. And our lives need to be a life of constant remembrance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Children going out, Lick. You know, it's amazing. I sort of was listening to that song and I'm thinking of Remembrance Day. And people in the world have a Remembrance Day regarding the Anzac things and all of the victories or the problems that went on in the past. And they generate that remembrance. And I was talking to a girl who actually came up to the cross, a lady. She came up to the cross, and I saw her at Coles yesterday. And her name's Liz, lives here in Gisborne, but goes to a church at Barfold, which is 45,000 miles. Not really, it's so far up towards Lake Eppalock. But she goes to a church up there, and she said, you know, she was so touched by the service up at the cross, and it amazed her that the name of Jesus needs to be spread. That last song we sung, I just want to speak the name of Jesus, just hit her like a ton of bricks, she said. And so she said to me, and you gave that testimony of Eddie Gardner, and then the latest magazine that came out, the Gisborne Gazette, has him on the front page and talked about his life. And it even said in there he was a believer. I said, yeah, but their form of thinking what he was a believer is not what I know, because he's a child of God. And so wasn't just a churchgoer. And then she started to talk about the interaction she has with people. And she said, I've begun to get more of a focus on who I need to be in bringing the name of Jesus to others. And she said, can you help me? I've got a man in a nursing home I'll have to go and visit. And I said, I can't do it till Monday week. She said, can we go then, please? He's lost his wife recently, but he doesn't know Jesus. I said, okay, well, we can go up and introduce him. And she said, well, how do we do it? And I said, we just introduce him. I said, we don't have to go through any format. We just talk to him about where his future is and where he's going. And would he like to be sure it was of it being secure with Christ? And that's all they did with Eddie. And Eddie said, yeah, sure, let's pray. Bang. So isn't it amazing that just if we can generate our lives to be a life that portrays the remembrance of Christ daily and everywhere we go. You know, sometimes we miss opportunities, and I've been guilty of it so many times. I said, God, I know you drew me there, and I know, but I didn't talk about you. I didn't. And I try to reason myself out of it. But we need to be aware of the fact that our lives are lives that portray Christ. Not in a hairy-fairy or a super spiritual way, but just in a natural progression of conversation and allowing God to do his work through us. We live our lives in remembrance. And we don't want to be Anzac Christians. Like some, you know, they go to church Easter and Christmas. I call them Anzac Christians because that's the only time they think of God. And then others, honestly, I wouldn't know how many times during the week I actually thought of my covenant with God or my relationship, but I'm generating my life to be more proactive in communing with God constantly. It's not easy. It's a discipline. It really is. We get distracted in every possible way, and everything that's around us will try and take our mind off it. But we need to be conscious of the fact that our lives are for his glory, living in remembrance. I love that song. I love that song. And you know, if we're looking at our purpose in life, you know, it's our purpose on this planet is not to be anything but a reflection of Christ. You know, I get worried when people give their lives to Christ because they've come to an altar call. God's got a plan for your life. He's got a future for you. He's got a purpose for you. And it all seems to be based on how well they're going to do on the planet and how well they're going to, you know, live their lives with some sort of blessing of God, making them important. But that's not the way Jesus walked. He humbled himself. He didn't go pushing himself. Are you the Son of God? If you say so. You know, we got the King James says, thou sayest it. And I just, well, if you say so. But he didn't actually promote himself, did he? He really didn't. And it's hard. It's hard. But let's look at something that I really want to, it follows on from that so well. And it's us having a heart of worship, not in the sense of actually being talking loud and whatever have you, in singing all the time. I was listening to Dan Moller the other day on a video, and he said I was working with a group of people at one place. I had a job there when I was, you know, still a young Christian, and they said, look, Dan, you're a great guy. You do a wonderful job. You're absolutely amazing. We like having you here, but there's only one problem. He said, what's the problem? He said, you keep talking to yourself. And he said, I can guarantee you I am not talking to myself. Woo-hoo! How he spoke or what he did, but he constantly was in communion with God. They didn't realize. They thought he was mumbling to himself and talking to himself, but he was just putting God into everything. And he said, I said, I can't go a minute without being in communion with God. I'm like, oh, that was not, you know, I'm saying, come on. So our heart of awareness is an exaltation of God. And I'm not putting worship in the sense of praise, worship, and what we normally do at church. I want to put it in the sense of our honoring of and exalting of God in all we are, all we say, all we do, every aspect of our lives. I'm going to start with the history of David. As we were aware of David, he was a young man that looked after his father's sheep. And I think he preferred to be out there than anywhere else from what I can get in the gist of David's heart and David's writings and David's rapport of everything that he did. But of course he's out there I think all he had was a staff and a harp. He protected the sheep and he protected himself. I don't know, but he was out there, and all that he ever did, he spent his youth in the fields, and his life was based on a knowledge, or getting a knowledge of God, accumulating a knowledge of God through nature. You can see that through the Psalms. And he talked about it in so many facets and aspects of his own life. I love the one where he says, when I consider the heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have ordained. I don't know if you're like me, but boy, when I get a starry clear night, I'm out there. And I'm in awe of it. I don't care how many times I look at it, I'm in awe of God's creation out there. It absolutely blows me away. And I think of the scriptures that said he flung the stars from the tips of his fingers. And I can imagine God just going, I need some stars. You know, and I don't, stars be and stars were, you know. And they keep saying that we're finding that the stars and the planets are still accumulating or still growing. Now, I don't know if that's because there are more of them multiplying, or whether it's the fact that we've just got greater and bigger and better capacities with telescopes and things to see out there, whichever way it is. But I don't think God turned around to the stars and said, right, stop growing now. Stars, just go, increase. Now, I don't know. He told us, he said, you guys, when he said to Adam and Eve, he said, you know, replenish the earth and subdue it. And off they went. And they, you and I are a result of that. And the world is still growing. We've gone from two people to how many billion now? I don't know. And there's been wars and deaths and famines and all sorts of issues in the middle and tried to take us all out and things. But there's still growth. And I think God's kingdom is a kingdom of growth constantly, both natural in the realm that we can see in the stars of heavens. And David sees this amazing creation of God out there. And he goes, what do you need me for? What is man in the context of all of this that you even have a thought for us? Why would you even think about us? What are we as we're as nothing compared to what's out there? But David didn't go on too much in that psalm and talking about it. And the generations and offspring that you visit them as well, you just consistently want to get to interact with people. But I don't know whether David actually saw what we know now, that we're made in the image of God. We're three-part, body, soul, spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three-part. And when God looks at us, he sees his life in us. Without his life, if he were to cut off every aspect of his own life now from this planet, everyone and everything in it would die immediately, because there'd be no way it could be sustained without the life of God supporting it. And I'll take that from the scripture that said, where Jesus says he upholds all things, or God upholds all things by the word of his power. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't say by the power of his word. It said by the word of his power. In the beginning was the word. And the word was God, and the word was with God. So the Son was the spoken word in creation. And that began everything, and that spoken word, the word of his power that created and sustains everything, is what upholds everything. Isn't that incredible? And if that was to cease, nothing could be sustained. Nothing could be upheld. Nothing would go on. And God, in his grace and his mercies that are new every morning, has that heart for each and every one of us. I was looking at some Psalms of David and just looking at his attitude to God. In Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So let the humble hear and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Worship the Lord, ye saints. There's no lack to those who truly fear, and that is reverence him. There's a song out. The next slide is basically the same words put into a more of a singing vernacular, and it's just changed around a little bit where it says, I will make my boast in the Lord. So let the humble and the afflicted hear and be glad. A song that was put out and written by a girl named Jenny, she was young at the time. She came out of a hippie movement and got radically saved, and she was an amazing musician for God, and then became a preacher. Worship the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who truly worship him. And that heart of worship is a heart just of God being exalted constantly. We don't have to be in any form of bowing, singing, whatever have you. The heart of our lives can be a heart of worship constantly, just by exalting God in our thoughts, in what we do and what we are. It's gives God access to be the God he wants to be in and through our lives. There's no want to those who have a heart like that for God. He looks after us. He constantly is on our side. So the song is an actual amazing song. I think I've doubled up over there on it. I have two. That's all right. We'll miss a slide there, Anthony. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. And in the mouths of children and infants, you have ordained praise on account of your adversaries to silence the enemy and avenger. When I behold the heaven, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. He puts it into a place where he's saying, God, you have done it all. And even children get to see that and honor you, because children are very, very innocent in their outlook on everything. And when you see that children, like some of the kids we got here, are so bold for their faith in God, you can't shake them. And I love that. And that's what we need to be in ourselves as well. What is man that you're mindful? What's the son of man that you care for him? You've made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him the ruler of the works of your hand. You've placed everything under his feet. Now you can see how David, when he was initially talking about, when I consider the heavens, what is man that you are mindful of him? He virtually goes from a, how is it, God, that you care about humanity? And then goes into a prophetic realm of the Lord Jesus, where everything has been placed under the power of his word. I can't get over the way David actually sometimes starts off with one thought, and then somehow the Holy Spirit has just generated something in his thinking or in his heart or given him a vision of, and he's gone on to a major part of exalting Christ in it. It's amazing when you read the Psalms like that. They really do generate such an intense amount of thinking in my mind. David, what did you bring out? How did you get that out of that? Where did you put that? How did you go from looking at stars to seeing the Son of God high and exalted and everything under his feet? And I really believe that his heart of being out there and just strumming on his harp and putting tunes to everything he saw and honoring God in that, God honored him with the capacity to see God's heart for the planet. I really do. And I think we can be the same. We can be the same. He had a heart of worship, and he saw there that all things were to be under the feet of Jesus. But not only that, because if we're the body of Christ and we're seated in heavenly places with him, not only is Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, but in spiritual format, we are seated with him. We are the body. We have the feet. And we are meant to walk in the dominion and the authority of God's power operating in our lives unhindered and unabated if we had have a true heart of worship for God. Because it comes from the purity, it comes from the innocence, and it comes from the love we have for God and the exalting of God. We start with it in our spirit. We get born again, our inner man changes first. We are then, that's what it is to be born again. Our life that was separated from God was actually dormant. The Holy Spirit comes in, we're body, soul, and spirit in full activity then, and we need to grow in the knowledge of God. And as we do, we become conformed to his image in our lives and our conduct. We're conformed already in the minute the Spirit of God comes in us. There is no rearranging of that spiritual form in us by the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. He is there as God in person within us. That's permanent, fixed, signed, sealed, delivered. But we are to be guided into all truth. When Jesus said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all understanding and truth. For he will speak of me. And so that then, as we see Christ for who he is, it's in order to transform us into his image, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. And that fullness of God then gives us the practical purpose of God in our lives for this planet. That might sound complicated, but it isn't. It's just a simple act of surrender. It's surrender. Surrender to what? Well, I could say, oh God, I'm surrendering to you. But I should be going, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you, and lift my hands up to the sanctuary where he's living, because he's living in me. And if I'm surrendering to his direction and unction and guidance and training and teaching, wow, what a change. What a transformation. That's his heart for us, and that's what our heart for him should be. So whatever it takes, God, I'm in. Let's go. And do we do it? Do we constantly get there? Not always. Psalm 144 says this, "Blessed be the Lord my rock. He trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle." In other words, I'm ready with the armor of God for any conflict the devil wants to throw at me. I will stand strong. Even though David was a warrior and a soldier and he led armies, he still saw the beauty of God making us an instrument of his warfare in battle against the powers of darkness. My loving kindness, he's my fortress, he's my high tower, he's my deliverer. You know, some of the expressions that we use in worship have come from this. He's my shield. Wow. Wow. He's the one in whom I take refuge. He subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man? And he says this same phrase again, that you take knowledge of him, or the Son of Man, that you're mindful of him. Man is like a breath. His days are a passing shadow. We're not here that long. Yes, David could see that. But he could see how God, in his intense wonder, glory, majesty, and power, revealed himself to David. Can you? How much more should we have that same revelation of God with the Spirit of God in us? My loving kindness, my shield, my buckler, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my refuge. Those expressions, I tell you what, if you go through the Psalms and the way God expressed David expressed who God was to him, man, that is a real heart of worship. And we need to have that knowledge of God in that way. I'm in trouble. I need everything that the children of Israel did in the wilderness when they came out and they were going through. And every time they had a problem, God didn't come along and say, okay, I'll help you with that. He said, I'm Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm Jehovah Raya. I'm Jehovah Gadzidkenu. And he put his name into their problem situation as their refuge and as their answer. Woo, man. So good. So good. And God has got an answer in his name for any situation you and I can encounter. He really does. And we get in a tiz sometimes. Oh, what am I going to do? Just chill. Father, I need your help. Holy Spirit, I'm listening. I need your help and guidance. Do you get it straight away every time? No, sometimes our radar's a little bit off tune. We're expecting God to come along with, you better do it now. That's not always that way. Sometimes it can be a thought, it can be an impression, it can be in picture form. You might even go to bed that night and have a dream and wake up, I got my answer. I don't know how many times that's happened to me. Or I'll wake up during the night and I'll go, Blake, wake up. Poor girl. But I get all excited. You know what we were talking about yesterday? I was dreaming, and God showed me this. Good, go to sleep. But I really get a kick out of that stuff. Sometimes I've just got to go up and get out in the kitchen and sit there and say, God, thank you. You're amazing. You are absolutely amazing. Never be surprised at how God will impart or bring or deliver an answer to you. It can be in so many ways. But I've lost count of the times I've woken up during the night. And poor Lex been the brunt of my excitement, but it's been so good. And then she'll get up in the morning and go, did you wake me up last night and tell me so-and-so? She said, I thought I was dreaming. I said, yeah, it was true. And we both get a chance to rejoice and thank God for answers and for situations solved. Oh, it's amazing. But just be prepared to receive at God's timing. Sometimes we're so impatient. God, give me patience right now. No, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It grows, it develops. And we learn to trust God more and more and more and say, okay, God, I'm in your hands. And I want to show you this in a couple of things as we go along here. Psalm 34. The angel of the Lord camps around those that fear him and delivers them. Isn't that an awesome promise? And we get in a tiz over things and we get our knickers in a knot or whatever it is that we do when we, you know, wanting to get things happening. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. I know sometimes people must give God a bit of a, I don't know, you know when someone's like a parrot? God, I'm praying for that. Lord, you know, I'm praying, still praying. And God going, I heard you the first time. And I've come to now trust God fully when I've put something in his hands and just taken to him in prayer. And I just say, Lord, I thank you for the answer and I know it's in your control and I believe you for it in the name of Jesus. And I don't bother him about it again. I leave it there. The Bible says, cast your cares on him. So casting is, I don't know if you've ever been fishing, but when I'm casting the bait and the rod, I want to get it out as far as I can usually. And I think of that and I think, now, if I'm casting my care on God, it's a lot further than that. And I haven't got a reel. So why should I bother bringing it back and regurgitating it and talking to God about it again? Because I've already given it to him. It's in his hands. That's faith. That's trust. That's what God wants us to know. In Hebrews, it says this, that the angels were never given positions of exaltation and authority such as we are. It says, to which of the angels did he say at any time, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? No. The Father gave that to the Lord Jesus. Stay on my right hand. Sit at my right hand until I've subdued the earth. How's he subduing the earth? How's he doing it? Get your finger like that. Come on, put your fingers out. How is he subduing the earth? Now go like that. You and me. We are his army. We are his people. We are his capacity to function on the planet. Christ in us is a hope of God's glory being revealed to the planet. And Jesus ain't moving until we get the job done. Did you know that? Oh, we better hurry up. Because I think he's half off the chair waiting to come back and he's saying, church, you ready? And we're going, we've got it all in our own little back pocket and forgetting about a lot of things. And he's wanting to come back, but he's waiting. He's waiting. There will be a time when the Father says, go. And wow, it'll be no turning back. But the angels never got that opportunity to sit there. Are they not all ministering spirits? Listen to me now. What I said before, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them in Psalm 14. What are the angels doing? They are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister in behalf or for them. Them who? And if I've cut the verse up here, them is. That's you and me. They are there on our behalf. And it says that then, they are all ministering spirits on the next slide I brought up, sent forth to minister for those who are the heirs of salvation. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him. We've got God's army of angels right there on our behalf, working on our behalf. And if I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, Every angel within the sound of my voice comes to attention, stops. Who said that? What do they want? And Father, where do we go from here? They're waiting for their instructions. They're just there on our behalf. I don't know if you're aware of that, but God has so much there that's for us. And the devil comes along and tries to trap us into thinking he's going to manipulate and do this and do that. Man, if you could actually see angels around about you, you would not even think of a worry anymore. There was a guy in America, in fact, he was a preacher, who got a phone call. I think I've told the story here before, but just in case you haven't heard it. But he got a phone call from a fellow who'd been in and out of his church, and this guy was been a bit of a problem guy in his past, and had a grudge on his shoulder, chip on his shoulder as big as a log, and just really sad guy. He just couldn't seem to get his life together. And he rang the pastor one day and he said, "Look, I'm in a real dilemma." And I think he might have said something like, "I'm seriously thinking of ending my life," or something like that. The pastor said, "No, don't do that. Don't. Where are you?" He says, "Well, I'm actually just out of town on the bridge over the river." He said, "I'll come out and meet you there." So the pastor jumps in his car, drove out onto that bridge, or just near the car park beside it, and got out of his car, and he's looking around. He couldn't see this guy anywhere. There was no sign of him. He was completely gone. And he waited. He tried to call him, couldn't get an answer. And he went, "Well, he either wasn't here or he's coming. I'll give him a few more minutes." Anyway, he got in his car and he left. He got home to his office and he sat down in his chair about to do a couple of things, and the phone rang. And it was this guy that rang him. And he says, "Oh, I went out to the bridge where you said," and he said, "I couldn't find you." He said, "Oh, I was there." He said, "Well, I couldn't see you. What were you doing?" He said, "You got no idea." He said, "I actually had intended to kill you that day and throw you off the bridge. But," he said, "that guy that you got out of the car with you, he was 14 foot tall. He said, I wasn't coming anywhere near you with that bloke there." And he said, "There was no one with me." He said, "Oh, don't tell me that. I saw him. I saw him with my own eyes." And this guy, he said, "It scared me so bad, I just went and hid. And I didn't want to be seen by either of you, because if this guy got hold of me, I was finished." And he said, "I just knew." And the guy, he said, "Look, I took no one with me." He said, "What you saw was the angel of the Lord." And I've heard so many people talk about angels in the sense that they're not our size. They're a lot bigger than us. He says, I actually remember a guy here in Melbourne. He was preaching out at Christian Life Centre in Ringwood. And he'd come from a ministry trip somewhere. And he said, "The power of God was amazing on that trip." But he said, "One night," he said, "I was ministering and God kept giving me thoughts and I was preaching as the Holy Spirit prompted me with these thoughts." And he said, I'd pause for a moment and then all of a sudden another thought had come and I'd fire up. He said, "I was just sort of taking it as God gave it to me." He said, "After the meeting, a fella came up to me and he said, 'You walking around the platform,' and he said, 'you'd stop for a moment.' And he said, 'There was this angel about 10 foot tall would bend over and whisper something in your ear and you would go off and start preaching again.' And he said, 'You'd pause and then they'd come, boom, and it would go." He said, "The angel of God was actually inspiring you through the whole message." And he said, "God showed that to me in a vision." Wow. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who revere, honor, and fear him. Isn't that good? He's here somewhere. And you can always be confident in that because God's word promises that. It's not he might be there. They are there. And they are there as ministering spirits in order to minister on our behalf who are the heirs of salvation. Wow. Wow. Now let me just have a look at something here that may just challenge you to look at this in another light. For the eyes of the Lord, this is God himself, roam throughout the whole earth. Now whether God himself is doing this from his position of vantage, I don't know what it is, but I still believe that the angels are there on our behalf, and when we're needed, they're the ones giving God the go-ahead. Hey, Sheldon needs something. Ken needs something. Tobias needs something. Naomi needs something. God's got his angels around about us as ministering spirits on our behalf. Whether God's eyes are physically looking, I don't really care. Whether it's the eyes of the angels on his behalf, I don't care either. I can't prove it either way, but all I know is that they are there on our behalf to bring God's best into our lives. And those eyes of the Lord running to and fro, roaming throughout the whole earth, are there to show himself in order that he has the capacity and the potential and the ability and the timing to show himself strong on our behalf, whose hearts are wholeheartedly devoted to him. That's the heart of honor, worship, praise, exalting God. That's the heart we need to have towards God. And in the children of Israel were warned in this manner. They said, you have been foolish in this matter. You have not had a heart that has been perfect towards God. He was actually chastising them. You are supposed to be God's people, but you have ignored God in your ways and in your heart and in your thinking, and you've dishonored him. Therefore, you have troubles, wars, and persecutions from now on. Things start going wrong in your life. Just say, God, I'm sorry I've ignored you so much lately. I've been so busy. But I want my heart to be a heart that is perfect towards you. I don't want to miss out on any opportunity you've got to show yourself strong on my behalf. Don't get too caught up with the business and the busyness and the activities of life to the point where God's saying, I want to work, but you're distracted too much. I don't want to be distracted from anything God's got for me. I want to give him every capacity and opportunity to be the God he wants to be in my life. Psalm again. I love what David blows me away. Woo! In thee, O Lord, it says in King James, in the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? Just run away. Just ignore the problems. Just disappear. Just take off. For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow in the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in the heart. You know, David was aware of the fact that he was a target for so much. There were people that wanted to take him out. And I guess he must have had those thoughts. Why don't I just run away and hide? Why don't I just flee up to the mountains? Why don't I just get out of here? But he says, how can I say that to my soul? How can I actually have that thought? Doesn't matter what the wicked do, they might be trying to take me down, they might be trying to get me, they might be trying to take me out. But I want to keep my heart upright. They're trying to shoot secretly at the upright in heart. Therefore, I'm protecting that, I'm guarding that, because if the foundation's destroyed, what can the righteous do? We don't have an option. We don't have a plan B. We've got to guard that. The Bible tells us to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of there springs the issues of life. And if our hearts are guarded in God, if our hearts are pure towards him, if our hearts acknowledge him, and if our hearts and attitudes are exalting him and holding him in the place of priority, preference, and the honor that he deserves, and he does, we don't have a plan B. We just have a God who is our shield, our protector, our strong tower, our refuge, our hiding place. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm telling you, all of God's promises and provisions are unhindered when our hearts are right and guarded. Do you like that? I think it's amazing. It is. Now, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anyone. I'm just saying we're all guilty of letting things get in the way. But let's try and get the things out of the way as much as we can. Yes, we've got to live life. Yes, we've got responsibilities. Yes, we've got things to do. But you can be like a Dan Muller if you like. And people might say you talk to yourself, but that's better than doing nothing. That's better than ignoring God and having a heart that's forgotten about Him. And I believe we can all have every provision of God that's made available to us when we guard our hearts with all diligence and keep our heart of worship, our attitudes and our honor for God at its ebb and total peak of flow. Amen? Father, thank you so much for your word. I just honor you tonight, Lord, or this afternoon. I honor you. I worship you and I lift up your holy name. I bless you, Lord. Come on, just stand with me and honor God for a few moments. Just thank him for his love. Thank him for his goodness. Thank him for everything that he is, all of his attributes. Thank you for being our shield and buckler. Thank you, Lord, for being our guardian. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us. That your eyes are scanning this planet, looking for an opportunity to work on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, that you are our deliverer. You are our shield. You are our hiding place. You are our protector. You are our provider. You are our all-sufficiency in all things. God, because of that, we keep our heart right before you. We honor you. We bless you. We praise your holy name here in this place. We give you all the glory that is due to your name. We give you the praise and the honor. And Father, we let the fruit of our lips be a sweet savor in your ears, that you know that our honor is directed truly towards you. And we praise you for being the God that you are, for your everlasting and eternal faithfulness, for your loving kindness, for your mercies that are new every morning, and for the wonder of your Son Jesus and the gift of your wonderful Holy Spirit to train, teach, guide us, and be an example to us. Father, thank you. Thank you. We open our hearts to receive your word, for your Holy Spirit to teach us and lead us into all truth. And we will be the people that you've desired for us to be, in word, in deed, in conduct, in thought, and in heart. Praise your holy name. Amen. How good is our God? How good is he? Amen. Bless the Lord. Well, I trust that that word encourages you. That is really... I had a challenge getting that ready. I don't know if you noticed I got here late. I was ready with all of that on the computer by about 3 o'clock. I went to go and email it through, so it went through into my notes and to the notes for the screen. And I'm like, it crashed. I lost everything. I did it again. I had it ready by about 10 past 3. Crashed. It crashed 4 times. Finally, I turned the computer off completely. I left it alone for 10 minutes. I turned it back on at about 25 to 4, because that's why I was late. It came back on. I reinstalled everything because I had notes, fortunately, on my iPad, and put it all back onto the computer. And I saved every page as I put it in. Save, 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 save. And then I went to email and send, and guess what? It went. I don't think God had anything to do with that, but I'm sure the devil didn't want this message presented. I'm sure there was an opposition to us knowing who God is and on our side. Amen? And I'm looking at it as a victory in Christ Jesus that I even got it to you and got it here the way I wanted it, because it was such a drama. And I've never, ever had that before. First time ever that I've had that sort of drama in putting a word down and having it prepared and ready. And it was amazing. Never even had the computer crash before. Four times to get that before I could email it out. And I said, okay, God, I'm determined to make the best of this and I'm going for it. Praise him for that and bless you all.